Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The moment I received the news that the health of Maulana Taha Rahimahullah was deteriorating and that his condition was rather precarious, I had a lump in my throat. I retired to bed Thursday night, cautiously optimistic of a miracle. But Friday morning, as I woke up and nervously embraced my phone and mustered the courage to switch it on, lo and behold, there was an influx of messages echoing the sad news that this intellectual giant and this erudite scholar has passed on. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, there is a narration that a companion, Abu Ammar radiallahu anhu, says, when Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu passed away, we sat with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And it was a very sad day. It was gripped with sadness and somber. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma pointed to the grave of Zayd ibn Thabit and he said, لَقَدْ دُفِنَ الْيَوْمَ عِلْمٌ كَثِيرٌ. Today, in that grave, a chunk of knowledge has been buried. Today, in that grave, a chunk of knowledge has been buried. And surely we can echo, of course, no comparison to the knowledge of Sahaba, but in contemporary times, we can safely say that in the form of the takfeen and tadfeen and the burial of Mufti Taha rahimahullah, a great chunk of knowledge has been buried. I had once read in the writings of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah in his famous books of Hatum min Sabr al-Ulama ala Shada'id al-Ilm, in which he writes about Bishr Hafi rahimahullah, Ibrahim Harbi rahimahullah used to say, Ma akhrajat Baghdadu atamma aqlan minhu, that Baghdad has never produced a more intelligent man than Bishr Hafi rahimahullah. Ka anna fi kulli sha'ratin minhu aql. It was almost like every strand of hair on his head was an independent brain. لو قسم عقله على أهل بغداد لصاروا عقلا وما نقص من علمه شيء. If you were to distribute his intellect and his wisdom and his knowledge to the people of Baghdad, everybody would walk around with a handsome brain and an intelligent mind, and it would not diminish his intelligence in any way. And in contemporary times, I can safely say that if the intellect of Maulana Taha rahimahullah was to be distributed on the people of Strand, lasaru uqala, they all would be people of intelligence and wisdom, wama nuqisa min ilmihi shay, but it would have not defected or diminished his intelligence in any way. When Abu Yusuf rahimahullah had fallen ill, whose actual name was Yaqub, and he was the distinguished student of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and Imam Abu Hanifa came to visit him, and then he looked at him, and he seen that his health was not good, and he was slipping away. He said, لَقَدْ كُنْتُ أُؤَمِّلُكَ بَعْدِي لِلنَّاسِ. I had great hopes that you will continue the legacy post my demise. وَلَئِنْ أُصِيبَ النَّاسُ بِكْ لَيَمُوتُنَّ مَعَكَ عِلْمٌ كَثِيرٌ. And O Abu Yusuf, if you happen to pass away in this illness of yours, then with you a chunk of knowledge will be buried. With you a chunk of knowledge will be buried. A quick reflection over some of the many achievements, accolades and feats of this intellectual giant, rahimahullah. To start off, in Hilyatul Awliya, under the chapter of Shuhra, I came across a quotation in which Abdullah bin Mubarak, the erudite scholar of Hadith, used to say that كَتَبَ إِلَيَّ Sufyan Thawri. Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah once wrote to me, and that was the practice amongst the pious, meaningful, objective, brief, comprehensive and concise, but voluminous with meaning. He said to me that spread your knowledge, وَحْذَرِ الشُّهْرَةِ, but stay away from fame and prominence. When I read this quotation, Allah is my witness, the first person that came to my mind was none other than Sheikh Maulana Mufti Taha rahimahullah. A man who was consumed and immersed in the sciences of knowledge, but he was the furthest away from fame and prominence. He didn't seek the fame or the prominence. In fact, when it came his way, he would shun it. And like I always say, that the Salafus Salihin would take more time to avoid fame than we would take to gain fame. In other words, they did more to remain unknown than we would do to become known. So that's the first thing. He was humility personified. I had two close interactions in many years, amongst other, you know, casual interactions. One was a conference in 2012 in Canada, in Toronto, Path to Piety, and myself, amongst others, and the Honorable, Venerable, late Mufti Taha, rahimahullah, was a guest speaker, and of course, both from South Africa, so we had more time together as well. And subhanAllah, Sheikh Taha had also conducted a workshop in the morning, which was then followed by the conference in the latter part of the day. And then when we sat down for meals, I asked him, I said, Hazrat, how was your workshop? It was 4 hours long. And he said, I tried to commence the first page. I tried. In other words, that was the depth of his knowledge. That was the depth of his knowledge. I could not conclude or encapsulate or you know, address all the aspects. I tried to commence the first page. And after the conference, there was a Q&A in which the entire panelists were on the panel. And of course, in his presence, one becomes very cautious about your words, etc., knowing that the knowledge he possesses. But a very calm person, a very collected person, he would not intimidate you. He would not give off the notion of the knowledge he possessed. In fact, I was listening to one of the tributes, and this really blew me away, where one of his students said, we as students did not know the knowledge our teacher had. And honestly speaking, I don't think our teacher also knew how much knowledge he had. Wow. I don't think our teacher also knew how much knowledge he had. That was so profound. And then, alhamdulillah, I shared platform with him in Cape Town on a Sahaba Jalsa. And subhanAllah, it was a huge audience. And, you know, he spoke prior to me and then I spoke thereafter. And we had some warm, amazing interactions. A second quick reflection about the late Mufti Taha, rahimahullah. And this is well known and documented. And his friends will tell you about this and his students as well. That he would study till the late hours of the night. And that reminds me of the stanza of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Abitu sahran ad-duja wa tabituhu nawma. Abitu sahran ad-duja wa tabituhu nawma. That I would spend the night studying and you would spend the night sleeping. And then you're optimistic that we could be united in Jannah. And he would often say, in fact, a friend of mine said that sometimes he would be studying on his phone till 12, 1. And then jokingly, he would say, I better shut my phone off because my wife might get suspicious that I'm perusing some other material. But of course, it was nothing other than studying books and studying, you know, dini literature. So subhanAllah, this was the caliber of the person. This was the caliber of the person. Now, the question is, where to from here? Where to from here? And in that regard, I want to share a verse of the Quran, a quotation, and move on and tie it up with, you know, paying homage and tribute to him. There's a verse in the 24th juz of the Quran, in chapter 40, Surah Mu'min, verse 34, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys the tale and the narrative of Rajulun Mu'min, the pious believer, who was addressing his people. And he said to his people, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا زِلْتُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ بِهِ. And that's the beauty of the Quran. You know, regardless of the situations in which we find ourselves, you will always find a cue and direction and inspiration and motivation from the Quran. And like I was saying the other day in a talk, a believer's compass, his satnav, his garment is the Quran. And the Quran never loses signal. You and I might ignore the signal of the Quran, but the Quran never loses signal. So this Rajul Mu'min, this pious believer, was addressing his people and he said to them, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Previously, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam came amongst you, بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, with clear signs. فَمَا زِلْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ بِهِ. But you remain in doubt, you were apprehensive, you were reluctant, you were not convinced on the veracity of his message. Hatta idha halak, until Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, qultum, then you said, لَنْ يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَيْ مِثْلِهِ رَسُولًا. I doubt the world will ever see a prophet like Yusuf alayhi salam again. So when Yusuf alayhi salam was alive, and then you could see in Tafsir al-Uthmani, in the footnotes in Hashan number 5, the quotation of Shah Sahib rahimahullah is made mention there, that when Sayyidina Yusuf was present amongst the people, then there were many people in Egypt that were not convinced, that did not fully oblige and embrace his message. And when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, and they seen the mayhem that followed post the demise of Yusuf alayhi salam, now they started reminiscing over the glory days of Yusuf alayhi salam. And furthermore, Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani then writes that the value of a bounty is only appreciated when it is lost. An-ni'matu idha fuqidat 'urifat. An-ni'matu idha fuqidat 'urifat. So my message is to echo and amplify the sentiments of whom the Quran refers to as Rajulun Mu'min in chapter 40 in verse 34, that Yusuf alayhi salam has gone. Now Allah has blessed you with Musa alayhi salam. Value his presence. Surely the man in the name of Mawlana Mufti Shaykh Taha rahimahullah has passed on. But on this earth there are many other Tahas arrive. There are many other Tahas in the form of other scholars, maybe not on the same caliber, maybe not as erudite, as learned, as knowledgeable. But the message is, value those that are present amongst you. Furthermore, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he once addressed the people of Damascus and he said to them, Ma balukum, what's the matter with you? That your scholars are leaving this world. Your scholars are leaving this world. وَجُهَالُكُمْ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ And the layman, the ignorant amongst you, are not pursuing knowledge. So there's two messages here. Number one, some of us might not be engaged in the acquisition of knowledge. And many others might be طُلَّاب of ilm, might be students of ilm. But then again, even if we are pursuing it, we're pursuing it at a very basic, rudimentary, mediocre level. And when we look at the personality who we are paying tribute to, there was inhimak, there was istighraq. He was completely immersed in knowledge. So we need to up our game. We need to up our game. And that's the message from the legacy of Shaykh Taha rahimahullah. And I think the other unique thing about him was that he walked the talk. And hence, if I can use again this opportunity from his legacy to say that those probably who might be listening to this, tribute and homage and have devoted years of knowledge, then this is your opportunity to convert your ma'lumat into ma'mulat. To convert your ma'lumat into ma'mulat. Meaning take your knowledge and internalize it, imbibe it and execute it. So that's the next message. And then, going on in terms of, understanding that we need to move on from here. When Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was in the throes of death, then those present around him started weeping. So he asked them, "Ma yubkikum? What makes you cry?" So they said, "Nabki ala al-ilm alladhi yanqati'u anna 'inda mawtik." We crying because with you goes a chunk of knowledge and we won't have that knowledge. So Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مَكَانَهُمَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ I am going to pass away now. There's no doubt. And he mentioned that and he was experiencing that last moments of life. But knowledge and iman will remain. مَنِ بَتَغَاهُمَا وَجَدَهُمَا The one who searches for knowledge, he will definitely find it. And by virtue of searching and pursuing knowledge, I think our late Shaykh Taha rahimahullah was definitely a beloved and a friend of the Almighty. 2 days back, my wife said to me, at the hour of the Hajjud, I got up and I was making dua as my regular practice. And I made dua for Mawlana Taha rahimahullah. And as I was making dua, I just found myself tearing, crying, wailing, and sobbing. And then she says, I'm asking myself, but why am I crying so profusely? I wasn't a student of the Sheikh. I'm not a family member of the Sheikh. I wasn't actively following his discourses. I wasn't an avid reader of his fatwa or his verdicts. So my relation to him was somewhat remote. Why am I crying so much? And immediately she said, the ayat came to my mind, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا Those who obey Allah and who do righteous deeds, Allah will instill their love in the hearts of people. And it is this piety and this nobility and this zuhud and this ikhlas and this tawadu' and this ilm and this tabahur and this umuq in this individual that has left every one of us, just wiping our eyes on. My last words of advice to myself, to the Ummah, and in particular to his near and dear ones, his disciples and his students. So there's a verse, and again, that's the motivation from Quran. There is a verse in the third chapter, in the fourth juz of the Quran, verse 144, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident that had occurred in the campaign of Uhud. Uhud occurred in the third year of Hijrah, in the month of Shawwal, in which there was a rumor of the assassination of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and momentarily this had created anxiety and stress amongst the companions radiyallahu anhum, and rightfully so. Subsequently, Ka'b radiyallahu anhu got sight of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, echoed this good news to the companions, gave them the reassurance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive. However, the verse was then revealed, أَفَإِمَّاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. So one day, if perchance, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does pass on, أَفَإِمَّاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ, or he is assassinated, إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, will you turn on your heels? Will you abandon the cause? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And if any person perchance turns on his heels, he cannot harm Allah in any way. I am dispensable, you are dispensable, I will perish, you will perish. Allah is indispensable. Under this ayah, it is mentioned in Bayan al-Quran, دَلَّتِ الْآيَةِ عَلَىٰ ذَمِّ الْفَزَعِ الشَّدِيدِ وَالْأَسَفِ الْبَالِغِ على موت أحد من الشيوخ كما هو عادة أكثر المعتقدين من العوام بل الخواص أيضا وكذا توهم بقاء الدين بلا ناصر. الله أكبر. This ayah releases a sharp warning to inform us that when we lose a scholar, when we lose a mentor, when we lose a teacher, دَلَّتِ الْآيَةِ عَلَىٰ ذَمِّ الْفَزَعِ الشَّدِيدِ, our grief, our sorrow should not incapacitate us, should not leave us lame and lethargic. دَلَّتِ الْآيَةِ عَلَىٰ ذَمِّ الْفَزَعِ الشَّدِيدِ وَالْأَسَفِ الْبَالِغِ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِ أَحَدْ مِنَ الشُّيُوخِ كَمَا هُوَ عَادَةُ أَكْثَرِ الْمُعْتَقِدِينَ مِنَ الْعَوَامِ. Like many general disciples will lose hope, courage, spirit, drive, momentum to say, well, my scholar has passed on, I have no more drive for life. No, that is wrong. Rather, we should stand up and preoccupy ourselves with the very passion for which he gave his life. His life was knowledge, and that encompassed his entire life. When Abdullah bin Mubarak was asked, لو أن الله أوحى إليك أنك ميت العشية ما أنت صانع اليوم. If Allah were to tell you that these are the last moments of your life and you're going to die before the sun sets, what would you do? He said, I would be studying. And I heard from so many people, whenever you met him, there was a book in his hand. In fact, in this very last Ramadan, I was in Cape Town for some lectures. And Allah is my witness. One day I said, let me go to Strand and visit Maulana Taha and spend time with him. But unfortunately, I did not oblige to that thought. Laytani fa'alt. I just regret, and I wish I had done so. So what's the message? That the death of a person should not incapacitate you, but rather it should propel you to continue the legacy and to also commit yourself to that cause. وَكَذَا تَوَهُمُ بَقَاءِ الدِّينِ بِلَا نَاصِرِ. And likewise, it is wrong for you to slip into depression and say, well, who will rescue this institution? Who? Of course, there's going to be a void. And of course, there's going to be a vacuum. But remember, this is the Deen of the Almighty, and he will preserve it. We ask the Almighty to envelope Maulana Marhum Shaykh Taha Rahimahullah in his special mercies. And we ask the Almighty to bless his immediate family, his honorable, venerable mum, his respected spouse, his beloved children, and in the form of his children, both his sulbi and ruhani, his biological and spiritual children, with sabrun jameel, and to bless the ummah with a ni'mul badal, a good substitute. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.